This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
The White House press briefing has been Caroline Leavitt said to the French, hey, yo, French, thanks to us you're not speaking German, all right? A little Bill Murray in stripes there. I don't know if she knew that she was invoking Bill Murray in stripes, but I was happy that she did it. Welcome to the show. Happy St. Patrick's Day today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. First of all, this idea of the president not following the law, she specifically said at the White House press briefing many times today, she kept saying, we are committed to following the judges. We are committed to following the law. The issue in this case of these horrible Tren de Aragua terrorists who were sent home on a plane, good riddance, goodbye. This judge issues an order after the plane's over international waters. It's out of the United States. But a broader point is, when are these judges going to stop? When are these district court judges going to stop trying to override the duly elected president of the United States of America? He was elected by all the people, for the people, and they were not. They're district court judges. That's all they are. And yet they act like they are presidents, too. And I've checked the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that a federal district court judge is there to be a check on the executive. No, it's not there. You know, the Supreme Court gave itself the power of judicial review in Marbury versus Madison. But when you look at the Constitution, it is the legislative branch that is there with the impeachment power over the president of the United States of America. But that's beside the point. The point is this. These judges have to be reined in. Clarence Thomas brought this up when he said, for the first 150 years of our republic, these temporary restraining orders by judges, they weren't even a thing. And now they're being abused. And Justice Neil Gorsuch brought it up, too, in the case regarding the abortion pills. And now this Trump administration has asked the court for some relief here. Hey, please go back and tell these judges to back off and stay in their lane. But the big point about this, and this is the key point here, is that even today at the White House press briefing, Caroline Leavitt reiterated today on multiple occasions that they are committed to following the law. They are committed to following the judges and the rulings, but they're going to keep appealing them along the way. But these judges don't have the right. And then I heard in some news broadcast, they said, well, the law on the books, it's an old law. Well, so what? It's still law on the books. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of dumb laws that are still on the books. Like you can't eat ice cream on the boardwalk in Jersey on Sunday. But whether or not we choose to enforce certain laws is a matter of prosecutorial discretion. If Congress doesn't like the Alien Act of 1790, whatever the heck it is, then they can revoke it. Congress has the power to do that. They can revoke the law. But as of right now, the law stands. And the president has the power under that law to use it, which is what he's doing here. But politically speaking, who's on the side of these terrorists, these horrible gang members? Who's going to take their side? I understand why federal judges are doing it. I do. You know why? It's because they're all auditioning for a spot on the Supreme Court. These district court judges in Maryland, District of Columbia, and Massachusetts. This is what this is for them. It's a gigantic audition. Look at me. I'm the federal judge that tried to stop the president of the United States of America. I'm the federal judge who was the resistance. So put me on the high court because I believe in using the judicial branch for activism, for judicial activism. And they don't care about the fact that it's judicial tyranny. They just want to do it for that purpose. So that's what these judges are all about. They go to their country clubs. They hang out with their posh friends. I mean, granted, Trump's golfing too this weekend, but he's killing Houthis. They're killing Bloody Marys. That's the difference. He's the elected president of the United States. These district court judges are not. But they want to be on the Supreme Court, and they're hoping that if there's a Democrat president in 2028 and there's a vacancy, they'll think of them as part of the resistance. But speaking of the resistance, I love when Caroline Levitt said this today. So apparently there's some low-level French politician who wants to take back the Statue of Liberty. First of all, try it. Good luck with that. Good luck. The bigger point is it really belongs to New Jersey, not New York. But that's for another show. But we'll get into that. But not today. Not today. But if you ask me, the Statue of Liberty really does truly belong to the state of New Jersey, not the state of New York. But again, I digress. The point is that it was a gift by the French. So now some low-level French politician wants to make international news by demanding the Statue of Liberty back. So here's Caroline Levitt, one of my absolute favorite, the best line of the day today from the White House press briefing, you ask me. Best line by far, cut number two.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
I love that line. I really do. I love that line. And I'll just remind you, if you ever need to buy a used gun, buy a French gun because it's only been dropped once. All right? That's only been dropped once. Now, Alina Haber, who is the counsel to the president, is great. And I she's a lawyer. She's smart, too. She's been on the show many, many times. Very, very smart. And she was asked a question. And even if we just have the audio on this, it's OK. I want to play it about these judges and how they have to stop here and what they're doing with all of these various injunctions. And remember, the Trump administration has asked the court, the high court, please rein in these district court judges. It has to happen here. Now, they're committed to following the courts. And the president keeps reiterating that point, as I will keep reiterating this afternoon. But here's Alina Haber. Take a listen.
Cooperate, and we tend to be in court a lot. It's what they like to do. These rogue judges have to stop. This is an executive decision, and we are trying to make America safe again. We are doing a great job of it, and this is a big part of it. These people are not, they're not well-liked in this country. They're not welcome. They have hurt so many people. I've been focused on human trafficking, human extortion, and the things that I have seen are so disturbing, I cannot even tell you. And when you learn about what happens to these individuals, some of them that come in that they don't even know they're getting trafficked. They come in and they go into states and then they think they're getting taken care of by some friend and are extorted sexually, labor. The list goes on and on. It's disgusting. It has to stop and we have to make America safe again. We have a war on fentanyl crisis. We have a war against sex trafficked children. We have a war against criminals coming into our country and hurting American citizens. So if you want to call it that, feel free. It doesn't matter. He has the power under Article 2 to do what he did. He designated them a terrorist organization. They have no business coming in. And while we love immigrants coming in the right way, you will not come into this country and hurt Americans and be a gang member and come in illegally and think that you will not be held accountable.
It's not that complicated. The president has the right under Article 2. This is a law passed by Congress. And even though that law was passed by Congress a long time ago, it doesn't change the fact that it's a law in the books. And if Congress doesn't like it, Congress can undo it. That's fine. That's up to them. They can do that. But politically speaking, are you going to really be on the side of Trende Aragua? Do you really want to keep Trende Aragua in this country? These judges don't have to worry about Trende Aragua gang members. These federal judges at their posh country clubs in suburban Maryland and Virginia don't have to worry about this. But real people in this country do. And all of this is by these judges is just a way for them to say to the Democrats, look at me. I issued injunctions. So I believe in using the judiciary to get what we want. And that's what Democrats love. If it were up to them, the Supreme Court would be 14 members and it would be a mini legislature able to achieve whatever the left wanted to do that they knew they could never get through Congress. So by doing so, by putting in these injunctions, these judges are just auditioning. That's all they're doing here. But here's the press secretary reminding everybody, Matt, I texted you this clip, reminding everybody that Tren de Aragua is a foreign terrorist organization operating within the United States. So who's going to be on their side here? Take a listen.
I would remind everybody in this room that Tren de Aragua is a foreign terrorist organization operating within the United States of America because the previous administration allowed them to invade our country. These are monsters who tortured, raped, and murdered a 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungre. They murdered 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley. They led a multi-sex state sex trafficking operation involving smuggling women into the United States, holding them in stash houses in Louisiana, Florida, New Jersey, Texas, and Virginia, and forcing them into prostitution. And they kidnapped and murdered a 33-year-old woman in Texas. They sexually and physically assaulted a woman and her daughter in Wisconsin. They conducted a mass shooting in Illinois. They peddled untraceable ghost guns across New York City, took over an Aurora, Colorado apartment complex where they kidnapped and tortured victims. And by the way, many of you in the mainstream media said that didn't happen. It turned out that it did. And because of the effective immigration policies of this administration, those foreign terrorists were detained and they are no longer operating on American soil. And we have President Trump to thank for that.
Good riddance. And to this idea that the Trump administration refused to comply with the judge's order, I think border czar Tom Holman put it best when he said this. Cut 16. Cut 16.
What would you say to critics who claim that this administration is refusing to comply with that judge?
Well, actually, we did comply with his written order on five aliens that he didn't want deported, and we complied with that. But look, you know, I agree with Carolyn Leva. I don't think I had authority to have a plane of terrorists turn around in the middle of international waters and bring terrorists back into this country. That's what this country is about. President Trump has promised American people we're going to drive down illegal immigration crime in this country. That's what we're doing, especially when it comes to TDA. They're terrorists. They've been designated terrorists. And I can sit here for the next hour and talk about all the young women that raped and murdered by TDA. Their robberies come in by TDA. They are an enemy of this country, and we remove them per the Alien Enemies Act, which is exactly what the president did. It's exactly the right thing to do.
Yeah, he was also asked, they said, well, it's an old law. I said, well, the Constitution's old, too, but we follow that. Like it's just because something's old doesn't mean it necessarily doesn't count anymore. But to those of you who are skeptical about this whole idea of a judge issuing an order, planes over international waters, because I believe Secretary of State Marco Rubio when he says the plane was over international waters, and then the pilots are supposed to turn around and fly back. Okay, so this is a military mission here. This is a mission ordered by the commander in chief. So it's military in nature. Do those pilots listen to the commander in chief or do they listen to a judge, a federal district court judge? What if it was F-18s going to drop bombs on a terrorist organization? And a judge found out about it and issued an order saying that those planes had to turn around and couldn't fulfill their mission. You want to talk about a constitutional crisis. The constitutional crisis would be that if a federal judge can override the commander in chief of the United States of America, that would be a constitutional crisis. So for everybody playing their little drinking games today about constitutional crisis, drink, because you're hearing that a lot from the left today. We are in a constitutional crisis. We are in a constitutional crisis. No, the real crisis would be if a unelected U.S. District Court judge could order the Air Force or Navy pilots to turn around in defiance of orders given by the commander in chief of the United States when those pilots are over international waters. Could you imagine on the way to fulfill a mission as directed by the president, a lawful order directed by the president under the law and under his powers as Article 2 commander in chief? Could you imagine? But how would it be any different? How would it be any different? Those planes are flying over international waters en route to drop a bomb on some terrorist's head. And some federal judge in Maryland finds out about it, issues an emergency injunction or apparently a verbal injunction, because that was the big dispute today. Well, what about the verbal injunction, not the written injunction? What if it's verbal? What if it's not? The point is this. I don't care whether it's written on a piece of paper or the judge says it over the phone. That would be a constitutional crisis. If the pilot of that say Navy fighter jet said, oh, I just got a call from a judge in Potomac, Maryland, telling me I got to turn this plane around and land. I can't carry out the mission that's been ordered by the commander in chief. What do we do? Well, I guess we have to listen, because otherwise it would be a constitutional crisis. We'd be ignoring the courts. So I guess we better turn around. I mean, that would be insane. It'd be insane. And everybody would agree that it would be insane. Everybody would agree that those pilots have an obligation in that moment to follow the orders of the commander in chief. So here you have a plane over international waters ordered by the president to do a job that is carried about as commander in chief, grounded in law, grounded in the Constitution, to fulfill a mission. A judge can't stand in the way of that, but the judge tries, and the president, well, we're sorry, we're over international waters. This job's being fulfilled. This mission's being fulfilled. We'll have at it in court. We'll see in court, but we're already in the middle of doing this. What if they're in the middle of extracting an American service member who is being held behind enemy lines, and a district court judge found out about it and tried to stop that? I mean, where do we draw the line here in where the judges clear lines are and the president's clear lines are? This is something that Thomas Jefferson warned about a long, long time ago. You know, the judiciary has to stay in its lane, for lack of a better word, and the executive stays in its lane. And the executive can't start bossing judges around, and then the judges can't start bossing the executive around. And the ultimate check on the power of the executive lies with the Congress under Article 1 in the impeachment clause of the Constitution of the United States of America. So if Congress doesn't like it, theoretically, that the president did not listen to this order from this unelected district court judge and have that plane immediately turn around, or that the pilots didn't listen to this judge, well, Congress couldn't impeach the president for it. And there is ultimately a check on the president that way. As the issue works its way through the courts, and Caroline Leavitt reiterated that today, you know, we're committed to going through the courts here. We're committed to going through the process. But if the Supreme Court says, you know what, the president should have listened to that district court judge, first of all, I'd be shocked. But secondly, it's going to be like, well, all right, well, sorry. Well, the mission was carried out. There's going to be more of these missions, and there's going to be more of these injunctions by these judges. Just like there was an injunction last week issued by a judge saying the president can't fire anybody in the executive branch. Can't fire anybody? What? Well, what's the point of having elections then? Is the president's job purely symbolic in nature? He runs on a platform of getting terrorists out of our country, getting illegal criminal aliens out of our country, and he runs on downsizing the size of his branch of government. And then another branch of government comes along and says, you can't do that? That's crazy. That'd be like the president telling John Roberts, as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you can't sign that opinion. You can't sign that opinion. We don't like that opinion. Therefore, you can't sign it. Or telling another judge something. Well, you know what? You have to rule this way or else. Or else what? That's exactly the point. Stay in your lane. The president has the power. The Congress passed a law. The president's invoking a law that's on the books. If Congress doesn't like it, Congress can undo that law. But as of now, that law is on the books. The president is empowered under that law to invoke it. He invoked it. The pilots who were carrying that out were listening to the orders invoked by the commander in chief. A U.S. District Court judge does not have the power to override the orders of the commander in chief. Period. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's a busy day. A lot of great stuff for you straight ahead, including whether or not the economy is really rebounding and just how quickly. Let's talk about eggs and the price of fuel. Great news all around. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, come on, Justin. We need a little Irish music today. Come on, we got a little. Give me some Irish music throughout the show. We gotta get like
Irish music during the next.
Dropkick Murphys. What's that?
I'm kind of doing a bunch of things right now, so I can get you on the next break, though.
All right, get me on the next break. We'll get a little Dropkick Murphys. What are some of your favorites on the St. Patrick's Day?
I do tend to lean more towards like Dropkick Murphy songs.
Yeah, they're pretty good, right? They're probably ever since The Departed, I think, when they're. Their one song, you know, Shipping Up to Boston.
Yeah.
That became a big hit, no doubt about that. All right, we'll get you on the next break. No problem at all. But it is St. Patrick's Day. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here. Just so you know, the issue of the auto pen and whether or not the President of the United States of America has the authority to use an auto pen to pardon people. Now, let's break down a couple things here, and we'll break down what President Trump said last night at Air Force One and this question of whether or not the auto pen can be used. Now, somebody out there suggested that a pardon has to be done with wet ink or something like that. I don't know where that came from. The Constitution isn't clear about that. There's nothing in there that says a pardon only is valid when the ink is wet. As long as the president had knowledge that the pardon was being signed, then the pardon is legal. So the point that the president made last night in Air Force One, which I think a lot of people are taking out of context, is this idea that he said he believes that they are not valid, but that's not up to him, he said. That's up to the courts. And certainly if someone can come forward and they can say, hey, yeah, you know what? Listen, these pardons, Joe Biden didn't know anything about them. Joe Biden had no clue. Yeah, I'll swear under oath, I'll testify before Congress. Biden didn't know that he was pardoning Fauci. He didn't know he was pardoning Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, his son, whoever else. He didn't know. They didn't know any of these things. We did it ourselves. We went to the auto pen room in the OEOB and just had the auto pen bang out a bunch of pardons. If somebody's willing to testify to that, then you got yourself the biggest political scandal in probably this nation's history. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. Probably not, because then you'd have people admitting themselves to federal crimes. Now, they could always get immunity from the sort of thing if somebody's brave enough to come forward. But then you still have to get the president, who ultimately is going to come out and say, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Of course I knew what I was doing. And then it's going to close the issue. Of course I knew what I was doing. And this person's lying. They're trying to sell a book. They're trying to make a quick buck. Of course I knew what I was signing. And then he's going to walk away and go build a sandcastle on the beach. The fact of the matter is that what if a president didn't have hands and had to always use the auto pen to sign everything, or had broke his hands, was in a double cast? I mean, if I was president, you could definitely see that happening, obviously, given how fragile I am. So I'm in a double cast. I can't sign anything. So is nothing I do valid because I have to use the auto pen and everything? I mean, that's stupid. That's silly. If I couldn't write legibly, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be able to read or write to be president. So what if I didn't know how to sign my name? What if I never learned cursive writing and all I had was a mark, I just did a Z like Zorro, but it was an auto pen Zorro. It doesn't change the fact that it's still legal as long as I'm giving the okay to do it. The issue here is whether or not Biden knew what he was doing. That's the issue. And that's what the president was saying on Air Force One last night and what Caroline Leavitt reiterated today. It's not that the president is turning around and he's saying that he's not going to follow these pardons. He believes that they are null and void. This is his point on this. So let's play cut number four. I'm going to stop it just to give a heads up here. But let's play cut number four here. President last night on Air Force One, or excuse me, cut number three. Take a listen.
It's not my decision. That'll be up to a court. But I would say that they're null and void because I'm sure Biden didn't have any idea that it was taking place. And somebody was using an auto pen to sign off and to give pardons to, as an example, just one example, but the J6 unselected committee. They gave pardons with an auto pen. I don't think Biden knew anything about it. And what they did is they deleted and destroyed all of the information that took them over a year to get. And the reason they did that is because the information was very incriminating about them. Like Nancy Pelosi, it was determined conclusively that she knew about 10,000 soldiers and turned it down. And if we used 500 soldiers, you would have had no problem, let alone 10,000. The young lady that said that I grabbed these powerful young Secret Service agents by the neck. Okay? You know that was a big hoax. It was a lie. And she admitted it. And they deleted everything. So, you know, what they did is criminal.
Okay,
Now, again, as the president said, this is my opinion, and it's ultimately going to be up to the courts, but I think they should be null and void, is what the president's saying here. Should be, again. Constitutional crisis. Drink. No. Should be null and void is different than saying that they are null and void, that I declare them to be null and void. And that's not what President Trump has said. And I just think it's very important to point that out to you, because people get hysterical about things. It's perfectly fine for the president of the United States to issue these. It should be done with a written pen. You would think that'd be common sense. The intent of the auto pen is there for ceremonial purposes, obviously. But nevertheless, and this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariA. Nevertheless, president's prerogative, if he wants to use it for that purpose. Yeah, issue these pardons, and don't bother me. Just go use the auto pen. I don't really care. It's still his signature. Now, if there's a question to whether or not somebody used the auto pen without the president's okay, well, now you've got a serious federal offense that's been committed, and that person needs to go to prison, obviously. I mean, I wouldn't put it past this administration. And by the way, I don't agree with these pardons. It's not the point. But but nuance matters in these things. And when the president says it should be null and void, he says, you know, that'll be up to a court. It's not my decision. I think so, but it's not my decision. It will be up to a court. And the basis that a court would have to use in that sense is that you'd have to have somebody come forward to prove, not just make an allegation, but prove that the president of the United States had no knowledge of these pardons. That's a very, very difficult thing to achieve here. But let's say they were able to do that. Let's say that you could go to a judge and you said, Judge, I have a secret recording here of me and the White House chief of staff talking about pardoning Fauci. Let's just use Fauci. And we're both sitting there going, you know, but nobody should tell Biden about this, right? Because Biden may not agree with this. Yeah, don't tell him. Just go sign the auto pen. Well, then obviously. You got the blockbuster film of the century, and you got people going to prison, and oh, beautiful, beautiful thing. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But somebody just making the allegation isn't enough. You have to prove it, like anything else. You'd have to prove that the president did not know and that these pardons were done without his knowledge. Now, the other issue, too, is that people say, well, Biden's brain was mush. It was mush. That's true. But there's a procedure in the Constitution for the article, 25th Amendment, to be invoked. If it's not invoked, then you can't just sit back and go, well, it should have been, and therefore everything the president did is null and void. It doesn't work that way. We can't do that. That's not how it works. Because what you don't want to have is some crazy lefty president turning around and going, well, everything Trump did is null and void because I think Trump was insane. Oh, you think he was? Yeah, I think he was insane. I think he was nuts. I think the guy was crazy. He was a crazy fascist. Therefore, everything he did was null and void. That's not how it works. Well, we think Biden lost his mind and was cognitive declined, and even the special counsel said the guy wouldn't be able to stand trial. Fair enough. And there's a process in the Constitution where they should have invoked the 25th Amendment and removed him from office. They did not. Congress should have impeached him and removed him from office. They did not. Therefore, what Biden did stands, whether we like it or not. Was he demented? Was he senile? Was he crazy? All these things. But it's not the point. Unless his executive power is taken away from him, then the executive power is still there. And that was reiterated today by Caroline Leavitt. Did the president even know? I don't know. If he did know, okay. If he didn't know, then people need to go to prison. Because then they took serious advantage of a seriously cognitive declined old man who's hiding his own Easter eggs, hiding his own leprechaun traps, and then being caught in them. I mean, that's how gone Biden is. And you know that, and I know that. Here's Caroline Leavitt, cut number four.
The president was begging the question that I think a lot of journalists in this room should be asking about whether or not the former president of the United States, who I think we can all finally agree was cognitively impaired. I know it took people some time to finally admit that, but we all know that to be true, as evidenced by his disastrous debate performance against President Trump during the campaign. I digress on that. But the president was raising the point that did the president even know about these pardons? Was his legal signature signature used without his consent or knowledge. And that's not just the president or me raising those questions, Caitlin. According to the New York Post, there are Biden officials from the previous White House who raised those questions and wondered if the president was even consulted about his legally binding signature being signed onto documents. And so I think it's a question that everybody in this room should be looking into, because certainly that would propose perhaps criminal or illegal behavior if staff members were signing the President of the United States autograph without his consent.
Biden is on the record talking about issuing preemptive pardons to these people.
But was he aware of the of his signature being used on every single pardon? That's a question you should ask the Biden White House.
Is there any evidence on that he wasn't aware of it?
You're a reporter. You should find out.
Okay. Now, when the president put out the following statement on True Social last night, that's different than what he said on the plane. Now, what he said on the plane is correct. It's his opinion. What he said on True Social last night is not correct. He said the following. The pardons that Sleepy Joe Biden gave to the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacant, and of no further force or effect because of the fact that they were done by AutoPen. In other words, Joe Biden did not sign them, but more importantly, he did not know anything about them. The necessary pardoning documents were not explained to or approved by Biden. He knew nothing about them, and the people that did may have committed a crime. Therefore, those on the Unselect Committee who destroyed and deleted all evidence obtained during their two-year witch hunt should fully understand that they are subject to investigation at the highest level. The fact is they were probably responsible for the documents that were signed on their behalf without the knowledge or consent of the worst president in the history of our country, Crooked Joe Biden. But spoiler alert, the president's just trolling people again. That's what he's doing. He's just trolling people. He knows that he can't just declare the pardons to be null and void. But he may know something that we don't. No, he may know something that we don't, in which case he does this sometimes. He puts out a statement like that, everybody loses their friggin' mind. And then 5 minutes later, they come out with something that proves that he was correct. That may be the case. Maybe he has evidence of that. Maybe he's a whistleblower. Maybe somebody's come forward to say that these pardons, Biden had no knowledge of them. Because what he said on the plane, and then he posts this on True Social hours later. So maybe in that time span, somebody came forward. That's possible. It's certainly possible. But in the absence of that, and in the absence of being able to prove that, then unfortunately the pardons still stand, and that's just the way it is. But the broader point here is that Biden's brain was mush. We all know his brain was mush. The AutoPen should not have been used. I love the master trolling that Trump also did when he put a picture on Truth Social of the 45th president of the United States himself, and then the 47th president of the United States himself, and then the 46th president being a picture of the AutoPen. It's funny. And what you're going to have happen here is you're going to have now, again, by doing this, he's putting Democrats in the position of having to defend Biden's use of the AutoPen because his brain was mush. And like I said, maybe some brave person will come forward and say, you know what? Yeah, it's true. We did all this without the president's knowledge. And maybe Kash Patel as FBI director, Pam Bondi's attorney general, or some United States attorney will give them immunity and they can come forward and they can explain all this, in which case then the Supreme Court can declare all these pardons null and void. And then all these people can be prosecuted. I mean, it'd be great. Good. Bring it on. I would love that. I would love nothing on the St. Patrick's Day would make me happier, except an ice cold Guinness, which obviously I have to wait till 7 o'clock to have, or at least 3:45 to have my third of the day. So that's the thing. It would make me very happy. And nothing in this day and age, you don't rule anything out, is all I can tell you. Don't rule anything out. But as far as following the courts go, despite the hysteria of the left and screaming constitutional crisis, drink. Caroline Levitt said the following, and I'll quote her. This administration acted within the confines of the law, within the president's constitutional authority, and under the authority granted to him under the Alien Enemies Act. We are quite confident that, and we are wholly confident, that we are going to win this case in court. Okay? This is a law the Congress passed, the Alien Enemies Act. The fact that it was only used during the Civil War and World War II doesn't negate the fact that it's a law on the books that the president is able to use. If Congress doesn't like the law, Congress should repeal the law. But until such time as that happens, then the president has the right to invoke it and use it, which he did in this case, and a federal judge does not have the right to stand in the way of stopping him or the pilots over international waters who are delivering the mission ordered by the commander-in-chief. It is a perfectly legal order given by the commander-in-chief. And by the way, since we're playing little games here of hypothetical situations, you know that there's no one who can stop the president from ordering a nuclear strike, right? You know that. We've talked about this on the show before. It's one of those things about the powers of the presidency that people don't really understand. They always think there has to be somebody who agrees. And I think that comes from maybe watching the movie War Games. In the movie War Games, which is one of my favorites, Matthew Broderick, oh, come on, it's great, right? Ally Sheedy in her prime. Ho, ho, ho! Did somebody have a crush on Ally Sheedy in the 80s? Gen X. Of course we did. Point is this. As the scene opens with two guys in the missile silo, you know, and the one guy won't turn his key. So I'm going to call somebody. And then the other guy pulls out a gun and says, turn the key, sir. Turn the key, sir. And then the next scene shows them taking the chairs out of the silo and they're all replaced by the Whopper. But there's no situation where the president says, I'm ordering a full strike on Russia. And then the vice president has to sign off or agree, or the speaker of the House has to agree, or even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has to agree. Given the nature of nuclear war and how quickly these things have to be decided, that it's, you don't have, there's no vote by Congress. There's not, it's why people have to take the powers of the presidency seriously and why Biden should have been removed from office. It was clear he couldn't do the job. I mean, and I hope they gave him the toy nuclear codes game that I gave Reagan. Reagan, want to launch a nuclear missile, honey? Look, just crack these codes and put it in the computer and go boom. I mean, I hope that that's what they gave to Biden. And the same exact thing. Toy codes. Crack them, read them, and then put it in, and you launch a strike, just in case. Or instead of the phone, the actual emergency phone, it's just like a Fisher-Price toy phone that Biden could call and say, I want a full strike now. Click and hangs up. All right, Mr. President, the missiles are flying, sir. But actually, if those people did that, they'd be in violation of federal law, and they'd go to prison. And that's no joke either. If you don't follow the order of the president in that moment, then you go to prison. It's a very serious. There was even a guy who, there's a famous story about this guy who asked the question even of whether or not the president, if anyone could check the power of the president on that. And he wound up getting court-martialed for it, for just asking the question. So it's, they don't mess around with this stuff. But what if a district court judge decided he could and order the missiles back? You know, the president just ordered a full-scale nuclear strike and a judge didn't like it. Can he order the missiles back? It's so silly. It really is. These judges need to stay in their lane. All right, 855-839-1210. My family goes to Dr. Mike Venneri, and he's a great guy and a great friend of the show. And this is the time for you to think about your beautiful smile. And what are you waiting for? Get your beautiful smile today from Dr. Mike Venneri. All you got to do is go to VenneriaDental.com. Have you called him yet for your free implant consultation? If not, what are you waiting for? Dr. Mike will give you the smile that you deserve, the smile of your dreams, and there's no one better. I'm telling you, ever since Mama Zioli discovered him for our family, and Papa Zioli goes to him too, and Patrick, Claire, and Reagan all go to Dr. Mike, I go to him, my wife goes to him, he's the best. And for over 10 consecutive years, he's been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants, a master. For a reason, he's just that good. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, go to my dentist, go see him today. And if you've been putting off going to see a dentist, you know it's really crucial to your health, right? There's lots of things that matter besides just the cosmetic aspect of a smile. It's really good for your health to see a dentist at least twice a year. VenneriaDental.com, VenneriaDental.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, sir. Good work, Justin. That's right. Nice. If you're streaming the show on YouTube today, which obviously you should be doing, give us your Irish pub song requests that you'd like to hear throughout the show today. We'll do our best to accommodate them, all right? We'll do our best to accommodate. No promises, no guarantees. We'll do our best, all right? But we'll certainly here on the St. Patrick's Day go for it. I have friends who've been out drinking at Irish bars throughout the city since 9 a.m. this morning. I'm quite jealous because they keep sending me pictures. It's actually quite rude, if you ask me, but they keep sending me pictures. My one buddy actually made his beard green for today. So I have a green shirt on, but I usually wear green, so no surprise there. And if you are wondering what this week's going to look like, it's going to be a lot of fun for us. We have our Travis Manu Foundation Radiothon coming up on Friday, which is going to be a blast. Special guests and all of us in studio, all the hosts together, the producers all together. DeSantis is back. He'll be there too. Everybody's going to be together. It's going to be a lot of fun. So just remember that coming this Friday to a Talk Radio 1210 WPHD near you, and we'll be streaming it live throughout the day. And please be extra generous as we help our friends at the Travis Manning Foundation and all the incredible work that they do, all the incredible work that they do for our veterans. And speaking of our veterans, you know, without them, truly, and let's cue up cut number two again, just because I love this so much. It just so reminds me of Bill Murray in Stripes, doesn't it? I mean, I just love this. Caroline Levitt today, just, you know, smacking the French right where they belong here. Cut number two.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
Boom! Now, DeSantis, I'm sure you've never seen Stripes, even though it's one of the greatest movies of all time. You probably have never seen it, right?
I have not seen it.
Okay, Justin, I didn't even know why I bothered. I wish I could just take the 10 seconds back that I asked you. What a waste of time that was.
I just Googled it. I can see that Bill Murray's in it, and that's about the extent of my knowledge for that movie. It's got an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty good.
I mean, just painful. Justin, have you ever seen it?
Of course. I love it. I think my favorite character in the film is John Candy when he's, what is he, Ox, I think?
Oh, Ox, yeah. Dewey Ox Oxenberger.
Yeah.
I swallowed a lot of aggression and a lot of pizza. Well, listen, as Sergeant Holka of the show here, can you try to find that clip of Bill Murray saying, without us, you'd all be speaking German? I tried to find it earlier, but I couldn't, but maybe you'll have better luck than me. So,
see what I can do.
Thank you very much. No ride, no rush. We got long show still ahead, and we'll all be, you know, obviously half in the bag by 4:30. Caroline Levitt said the following today after Axios put out this statement. The White House says it ignored a court order to turn around two plane loads of alleged Venezuelan gang members because the flights were over international waters, and therefore the ruling didn't apply, says two senior officials. Caroline Levitt putting out the following. The administration did not refuse to comply with a court order. The order, which had no lawful basis, was issued after terrorist TDA aliens had already been removed from U.S. territory. The written order and the administration's actions do not conflict. Moreover, as the Supreme Court has repeatedly made clear, federal courts generally have no jurisdiction over the president's conduct of foreign affairs, his authorities under the Alien Enemies Act, and his core Article II powers to remove foreign alien terrorists from U.S. soil and repel a declared invasion. A single judge in a single city cannot direct the movement of an aircraft carrying foreign alien terrorists who were physically expelled from U.S. soil. That is correct. It's absolutely correct. No, just like a federal judge can't issue a ruling ordering that, you know, an F-18 strike team needs to return to the United States of America and can't carry out their military mission. It's absurd when you really break it out. It's absurd that these judges think they can do this. But they think that, you know, and I don't even know if they really think they can. These judges are smart people, but let's understand how you become a federal judge, okay? So you're not just sitting there minding your own business in night court, and then some U.S. senator plucks you out of obscurity and makes you a U.S. senator. That's not how it works, or makes you a federal judge. These are people who are politicians. They become federal judges because they are involved in politics. Typically, their party's politics, or maybe sometimes they are involved in politics themselves as an elected official. And what happens is they wind up usually raising a lot of money. And then they become a federal judge because they've raised a lot of money for the party and the party in power won. Or they raised a lot of money for the U.S. senators of that state. And the White House typically defers to the U.S. senators on these matters. And then the U.S. senators say, we want this person. He's a member of your party, but we want this person. So you see, like they play games. These people know politics. You don't become a federal court judge because you were the best constitutional law professor at the University of Alabama. No. You become a federal judge because you're a politician. You're a political animal. And you want to be on the Supreme Court. That's what you want. That's the ultimate goal. It's like how every U.S. senator thinks they can be president. Every federal judge thinks they can be a Supreme Court justice. And they know how to play the game. It's how they got there. And they're very good at it. So do I think that this judge who made this order really believed he had the authority to bring back those planes? No. But do I think the judge knew that he would be creating what would lead to a lot of media attention in his order? Yes. And do I think that that judge will be hailed as a hero of the left trying to defy President Donald Trump? Of course. We already have the Trump derangement syndrome over and over again of people saying constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis, constitutional crisis. So, yeah, that's what this judge was doing. No, I don't think the judge really believed he had the authority to order those planes back. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous on its face of it. Imagine an admiral about to launch a torpedo off the, like, in the Middle East, gets a thing, like a Morse code from some federal judge ordering the ship to return to. Hey, what? I'm sorry, stay in your lane here. You know, is this an order from the commander in chief? No. It's U.S. District Circuit Judge, Bill Fotzenguetz here. I'm ordering you to return to Norfolk. Okay, are you drunk, Your Honor? Is this like a? I know it's St. Patty's Day. Have you been dyeing your beard green again? If you know what I mean. Like it's insane. It's absurd and it's ludicrous. As we will talk about with our buddy Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. He and I were both guests on Newsmax yesterday morning, separately, by the way, not at the same time. But nevertheless, when I heard Hans, Bubby, I thought, let's get him on the show today. Talk about some of these pressing legal matters. But the key takeaway is twofold. Number one, they did not defy the judge. And number two, the president of the United States is merely saying his opinion that these pardons by Joe Biden are null and void. His post the Truth Social is the trolling that he typically does. But man, wouldn't it be great if a whistleblower did come forward and we could prove that Biden had no knowledge of these pardons? Now that would be something. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Big show still to come. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.